get lots of action. Have my radio playing on my rock and roll station. Saw three hot ladies down by the square. I said, jump in, girls, let's go party somewhere.
Crank it up, blow it out, rip it up, let's party now. Crank it up, blow it out, rip it up, party now.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Larry Francis, but you know me better on Instagram as A Wrestling Historian. And today on To Be Determined, I have wrestling veteran with me, Homicide. How you doing today, sir?
Thank you for having me, Mr. Francis. I'm doing good. I'm just chilling like always.
Now, for the listeners who aren't familiar with you, could you give us an abridged version of your life story before you became a professional wrestler?
Well, of course, I'm a 42-year-old Hispanic man from New York City. I used to be a gang banger. I'm very lucky to be alive. I'm always teaching people the right way to you know, get to school, stay in school. I was a dropout. I got no shame. And I had a college degree, and I messed that up because I was making great money in the streets. Baseball and professional wrestling saved my life. I've been doing professional wrestling for 25 years. I travel all over the world. Just say that I did everything except WCW and the WWE or WWF. But I did everything. And I'm still going strong. I'm doing good.
Were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Absolutely. I love wrestling since I was 5 years old. My first match that I seen was the British Bulldog at the Hart Foundation. After that match, after the love, and of course, I was from New York City, and it was all about Hulk Hogan. I was a Hulkamania. In 1989, I went to a video store and I copied a VHS tape. It was Halloween Havoc 89, and it was the NWA. I seen people like the Road Warriors, the Fabulous Freebirds, but one guy that amazed me the most was Terry Funk. He had a great main event. It was the Thunderdome cage match. It was Terry Funk and Great Muta at JTAX, Gary Harper's at JTAX, I guess Sting and Ric Flair. And when I was a kid, I used to hate Ric Flair because he represented the rich. He was a snob, and Terry Funk represented the poor. So I kind of love the way Terry Funk was because he was very believable and a great athletic.
What's your favorite Hulk Hogan match?
I got a few. Of course, everybody's talking about Hulk Hogan as Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. I loved the few where he wrestled with Adrian Adonis, because to me, nobody gave him the right recognition and the credit of Adrian Adonis was one of the greatest wrestlers of this business. I loved the tag team with him and Macho Man Randy Savage, with the Mega Powers. There was freedom with people like Zeus and Ted DiBiase, Andre the Giant. I think, like, my favorite all-time Hulk Hogan match got to be with Randy Savage, the Macho Man. It was a WrestleMania.
So how'd you get into the wrestling business?
Well, basically, after watching the Principles of Hulk Foundation, I was keep watching Superstars of Wrestling every Saturday, 12 o'clock. Of course, my family, my parents hated the idea. Because they was watching Puerto Rico wrestling with Carlos Colon, TNT, Sabio Vega, even the Madman, Bruce Brody. If they felt that it was very dangerous, and I told them that I want to be a professional wrestler when I was growing up, because at the time I loved the baseball. But I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I think that it made me to strive more to professional wrestling. After the years going on, I remember watching my first pay-per-view was SummerSlam 91, and it just kicked in that I really want to do this. And I remember that I was working with my friend to South Brooklyn, New York, and he was telling me that he needs to do a pickup at his father's store. I went to this store, and it looks like a grocery store. When I went inside, it was a wrestling ring. At the time and moment, I did not know there was professional wrestling in New York. The only thing that I knew, there was only the WWF. I did not know there was NWA. I did not know Johnny Rods, that he was based in Brooklyn. But after watching this wrestling ring inside the store, I told him some information. I said, how much? He told me the price. I gave him my fee. And after that, I just took over and I moved forward.
How long did you train for?
I think I was training for like about 6 months. I mean, I had a couple of guys who was teaching me like the rolls, the bumps, the storyline. And I was doing things by myself. And I was watching tapes heavily. Like, I'm talking about like obsessed with the NWA, watching Terry Funk, the Samoa SWAT team, the Road Warriors, Sid Vicious, and Dan Spivey. Anybody who was from West Texas, that was my thing. I was very passionate with Ricky the Drag Steamboat, even Tito Santana, bringing that drama and that emotion in professional wrestling. Then after the six, 8 months, he told me the right way of professional wrestling, because I was a little guy, and I was one of those little guys that every big man beats me up. I always thought about the Ranger Bill Benny Fernandez. He loved it. And he just took me under his wing and he showed me the right way.
After this, you went to Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Can you tell us about your experience?
To me, it was like another version of ECW. The reason why, because I had the promo at the time, he was a heavily big fan of the hardcore wrestling scene. At the time, to become a WWF superstar. But at the time, I was hearing rumors that Vince McMahon and his team, they wanted huge men, big men. I'm only 5'7", at the time, 200 pounds. I'm a very small guy. And I was watching people like Ivan Putski, Kevin Sullivan, and all these guys who was very tough and small, but they can handle their business. And ECW came, and I think it was in 1994 in Madison Square Garden Network. At the time, the first match on the scene was a man named Sabu. And I fell in love. I was like, oh, wow. Like, I couldn't believe what I'm watching. This is like an outlaw wrestler. They can do whatever, and the fans loved it. It's not the same like the NWA or the WWF. And after that, when the promoter, Fat Frank, he took that psychology and the charisma of ECW and made Jersey All Pro. And basically, he booked people that they couldn't get booked anywhere. He booked misfits, thugs, outlaws, like every kind of people, every race, he booked them. He gave everybody a chance. It was like the way Paul Heyman did it. Give everybody a chance in ECW. And Jersey All Pro, it took off and it became a phenomenal promotion in New Jersey.
How'd you come up with the Homicide character?
Well, it was like a little inside joke. At the time, I was a character called The Last Terror. And basically, just picture Undertaker and Snake mixed together. And I had this face paint, like the Mexicans, Day of the Dead, the best Halloween, Dia de la Muerte. And I used to face paint my face, and it was okay, but I was bored. And one day, my friend was telling me, be yourself. At the time, I was hanging out with gangsters, and I was, you know, hanging out with pimps. I was slender, and he told me, be yourself. I don't know what that means. And he told me, the way you are in the streets, put that character and put in wrestling. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it with Trump. I was reading my name. That we was watching Cops, and a man was on the run for a charge for homicide. And he told me, call yourself Homicide. That's all right. So I told them that I'm going to keep Homicide for like two shows. Two shows became 25 years. It just got stuck to me.
Very cool. How'd you join Ring of Honor?
It was basically, I had a match at Jersey Pro, and I had a bad knee. a very, very bad knee. They almost had surgery. And Rob Feinstein at the time, he told me that he's creating a company that's not going to take off, but it's just, you know, a one or two shows that he's put in the NWA and the Old Japan style and just get everybody who's great all over the world and bring in one promotion. So he took me. But I told him I can't do it by myself because I got a bad knee. How about, you know, me and Boogaloo? We're doing this new tag team called the Natural Born Sinners. Just, we represent horror flicks. My character was the Michael Myers, and my partner was Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He brings out the chainsaw, just like Chainsaw Charlie. And it was very popular. We had black suits, like, you know, prisons. And we was from Texas because we was huge fans of the wrestlers who came from Texas. And Bob Feinstein said, okay, let's do this. And basically, it was one show. I always remember that we beat up this gentleman. His name is H.C. Loke. His partner was Tony DeVito. And that was our first view in the Ring of Honor. It was Cross Crew. And after that, we took off.
Speaking of ECW, you got to feud with Steve Corino.
It was basically my first, you could say, superstar, high-priced kind of guy, because at the time, not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but I had low-quality guys, but this guy was a superstar all over Japan, all over ECW, making a name for himself. At the time, he was in Japan, and we just didn't like each other. We didn't click. We had no chemistry. It was just one of those, like, he felt that I should be booked in Ring of Honor, and I felt like if you got something to say, say it in my face. So we said it in a professionally manner in a wrestling ring, because that's the one thing about both of us. We hate each other, but we always got respect for professional wrestling in the history. And it was a very intense battle. I popped his eardrum, he broke my shoulder, and the feud kept going, and for some reason, I don't know what happened after that, and we just made peace, if you say so. We still don't like each other, we still don't talk, but we do got respect for each other.
You got to work with Christopher Daniels in Ring of Honor. What were your thoughts on him at the time?
To me, Christopher Daniels is the captain of the team. Like, at a personal level, behind the scenes, he's our quarterback. You know, everybody's saying about I'm the veteran, I'm the old man, whatever. Daniels, he's the guy. You know, I might be the captain, the defensive lineman, but that guy, he's the quarterback. He's the most respectful wrestler of all time. To this day, everybody talks about me, like, why Homicide is not in WWE? Why Homicide is not in New Japan? What? I said the same thing to Christopher Daniels. And he did a couple of gigs for the WWE, but he should be at SummerSlam. He should be at WrestleMania or the Tokyo Dome or the Kido Dome. He should be part of that. But for some reason, he got his own opinions, his own views, you know, and I wish the very best for Christopher Daniels.
And then you got to work against CM Punk. How about that?
That guy, yes, he's incredible. Like, the first time I met him, he was one of those guys, like a punk rocker, straight edge. You know, I'm like, I'm the kind of guy that listens to Cypress Hill, Mahabali. You know, he's not like that, but he's a phenomenal professional wrestler. To this day, he still talks to me, and it's kind of cool that he went somewhere with a different dream and a different landscape of professional wrestling and then became a superstar in the UFC. And he still calls me. He still remembers me. And I appreciate that. And I take that to the heart. I love when people don't forget what they came from. And that's one guy that I truly respect the most.
And then this one I was really excited for is when you got to wrestle Samoa Joe.
One of my closest friends, to him that he is the feud. He's my favorite feud. The guy I like to work. We worked. I was married with this guy. We wrestled all over the United States. We went to the United Kingdom. We battled over there. And I'm very happy where he's at right now. He's in the WWE and Global Stance. And I'm hoping for the best for him. But he becomes the next Universal Champion. The guy, he's another great guy. Just like CM Punk. He's very phenomenal worker. And he's going to be a legend real soon.
What do you think of the Rottweilers?
Very underrated. Believable. We don't hold back. I think we are everybody talking about the Four Horsemen, the NWO, even people like Generation X, Generation Now. My brother is one of the most underrated groups because you got the Havana Pimples, two underrated tag teams, Rico Reyes and Rocky Romero. You got Loki. Not only is he my son, but he's one of the top premier athletes in the world. You got Julius Smokes. The man got more charisma than anybody in this wrestling business. You know, myself, they call me the leader, the Cabo, the Frank White. We are a very underrated team, and I'm happy what we did. And I think we're going to have a little reunion coming soon.
You had your best of five series against Bryan Danielson. What was that like for you?
That was out of nowhere. I think that was more of the people saying, wow, he could go technical style. He could go brawling. Same thing with Daniel Bryan, because the American Dragon is just like Samoa Joe, CM Punk. That guy's a future legend. He's a phenomenal wrestler. He reminds me guys like Luther, Billy Robinson, Kyle Gotch. He's a very small man. The guys from Seattle, Washington. There's nothing to do with Seattle, Washington. Just study tapes. So he's a phenomenal worker, and I always remember the 3 out of 5 best in Ring of Honor. We went toe-to-toe, and I think that was the point that people recognized me when I wrestled, because there was a lot of professional wrestling, technicals, fans that was, you know, cheering for Daniel Bryan. But when they saw this guy, a brawler, coming to his world, that's when people realized, okay, he can go with these guys. Because not only I'm a brawler, I could do it all. I could do Lucha Libre, I could do technical. I just don't show it because a lot of promoters don't want me as a brawler. I think that's their favorite taste, is me brawling. But I could do it all. One of my secrets is catch wrestling. I love catch wrestling. My favorite catch wrestler is Billy Robinson. I watch tons of tapes of Billy Robinson, same thing with Kyle Gotch. You know, right now, I'm a huge fan of Minoru Suzuki in Japan. And Josh Barnett, I go on and on and on. And I tell people, like, the only time you see me doing technical wrestling and do stretching and catch is when I train. But when I do, like, a professional wrestling show, it will be brawling.
At Unforgettable, you had Kenta Kobashi as your tag team partner. What can you tell us about him?
He's a GOAT, greatest of all time. I mean, you got people like Misawa, Monte Ricciardo, the Great Muda, Kenta Kobashi, he's one of those guys. There's like a Mayan man. He's one of those guys. But Kobashi, I thought it was that they told me, yes, you're being with Loki and Samoa Joe. It was fun, and the one thing I really appreciate that couple of tours, United Kingdom, and he was booked. And he remembered me. He told me, homie side, because Japan, they call me homie side. The homie side, how you doing? And I was just amazed, like, wow, I can't believe this. You know, this, a true pioneer, phenomenal worker, a phenomenal person.
At a night of tribute, you defeated Colt Cabana in a no disqualification match. This is where you choked him with the coat hanger?
Yes. It was a couple of times. Cole Hager, he got choked with a bottle of Drano. I did a chair riot. Me and Cabana, it was one of those moments that I did not knew it was becoming a phenomenal feud. I thought it was just the one time that's it. And that one time became like a 6 month feud. He couldn't beat me. And after that, in the end, he beat me in his hometown because I wanted to embarrass him. I wanted to torture him. And our feud remind me of Tommy Dreamer and Raven, when Tommy Dreamer could not beat Raven. And in the end, Tommy Dreamer beat Raven. It's the same thing with myself and Cabana. And Cabana beat me in Chicago. And I got to give respect for this guy because me and Julius Smokes, we torture him for like 6-8 months. He couldn't sleep. If you look at the tapes, he didn't shave. He was stressed out. The only thing he wanted to do is beat me. He couldn't. And we put him through hell, and he survived.
What was it like working with Necro Butcher?
Different. For some reason, it's like, I don't know, like watching tapes of Cactus Jack, but he was the IWA, you know, and at the time, Nick Butcher and myself, we did cross paths. I was watching tapes. He's a Looney Tunes. He's a lunatic. He reminded me of Cactus Jack so much, and he don't care about his body. He don't care about his life. And I always remember, at the time of Ring of Honor at CZW, he was part of CZW, and the guys from Ring of Honor told me to go out there and fight this guy. And of all people was Necro Butcher. And that's the time that we crossed paths, and we had one hell of a fight. And I wish he was still around. Of course, the injuries and the situation he's going through, he couldn't be in professional wrestling, but he is one of the toughest guys in professional wrestling of all time.
What was your experience with Jim Cornette?
I like Jim Cornette. The people's gonna hate me now, but I'll be honest with you, he said the right things. As right now, he said things that he's right, but sometimes he gotta accept that this is a new era. And he pissed people off. He pissed me off a long time ago because we had a match and we made a deal. And he didn't come by with that deal. So we had like a little feud. But what he's doing right now, he's pissing people off. And to me, it's kind of funny because I think that's what he wants. I think he's winning. But I feel that professional wrestling has changed. It's a new era, and you gotta accept it. I'm not gonna lie to you, sometimes I'm not a fan of these people, what they do. I mean, I'm not an old school, bitter old guy. You know, I'm just a fan of the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, maybe because I grew up watching it. I was competing with that. I don't know. But I respect Jim Cornette. I really do. His decisions is sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong.
He ended up leaving the company. What was the reason that you heard?
To be honest, I'm one of those guys that we gotta move forward. We gotta do business. You know, when I heard that he left, I don't know what was the real reason. I heard a bunch of rumors. It was about financial, it was about character, it was about TV production. I don't know.
So basically, you're like, whatever?
Yeah, I was. I study. I go back to the Jim Crockett days. I heard what he did to sell the company. I heard the bookers. I heard about Bill Watts, Dusty Rhodes. I'm not surprised no more with anything, you know. So when I see that Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon hugging each other, I'm not surprised no more about wrestling.
Well, you ended up teaming with Samoa Joe against the Briscoes. This led to your street fight, which I thought was very underrated.
Oh, you said it the best. Very underrated. You know, sometimes I'm getting a credit for anything. I used to be frustrated. I don't know why. I always want to do something about it, like go to social network and just ask questions and get some answers. A lot of people like Andrew Styles, Samoa Joe, they get all the credit that they deserve, but I don't get none. And I feel like I'm one of those guys, people like Terry Funk, The Sheik, Abdul the Butcher, even people like Billy Robinson, Bobo and Piper. I'm one of those guys, you know, but I never get that credit. I don't know why. like I said, I was getting frustrated, but I just let it slide. I just let it go and just be happy, move forward. What I do right now, I'm still here. You know, I've been doing it for 25 years. I'm still going strong. I still got little gas in the tank. You know, I can't complain. I travel all the world, but not from Brooklyn. Not saying that Brooklyn is a very bad neighborhood, but I did grow up in a very bad environment, and I'm very blessed and humble where it came from. Somebody should put out Homicide underrated matches. It would be over 50 matches, you know, because I had a lot, and that's one of them. And the Briscoes, they are one of the toughest tag teams I ever faced in my life. They're really the way they are on paper. When you see your name next to the Briscoes, it's tough to work.
At Final Battle 2006, you defeated Bryan Danielson to win the Ring of Honor Championship.
It was a very phenomenal year, a very phenomenal moment of my wrestling career. I loved it, you know, and I never, ever want to forget about that day ever again. It was awesome.
Then you ended up dropping the title to Takeshi Morishima.
Yeah, I just thought that, what's the right words? Like, I'm the first one to bring the international level to Ring of Honor. I mean, Samoa Joe's a big boy, and I defeated Samoa Joe. But Morishima was just different. The only difference, he was like the future for Japanese wrestlers. You know, we're talking about people like Tenryu, Chono, Kojima, Tenzan. Morishima is just one of them. He's the future. And yeah, he defeated me. And after he defeated me, I did a couple of shows. And after that, I just got let it go. I had a great career with the butter. And I went to my next chapter of life. And it was TNA, Total Nonstop Action.
How'd you join TNA? How'd that come about?
I went to Puerto Rico, but I know your way. It was Salvia Vega's promotion, and at the time it was being a gentleman called Mafia Mack. And we wrestled Ron Killens and Conan. That day, Conan liked it my style. Conan clicked very well. I knew Conan's history to be the Mexican Hulk Hogan, to be that kind of big in Mexico. We clicked very well, we exchanged numbers. He was telling me, like, listen, I got a new project at TNA Wrestling. I'm not going to be with 3 Live Crew. I already spoke to the bosses. I want to do something new. It's called the Latin American Exchange, and I want you to be part of it. And at the time, that nobody doesn't know, it was 2005. I had a match in Ring of Honor, and I think I was with Chris Hero. But Big Foley was in stand, and he was telling me, listen, Big Spam will love you. I think you should call him. He gave me his number. And it was just a pick, WWE or TNA. I took TNA. The reason why I took TNA, because it was less travel. The time I felt that WWE was very political about big men. Like I said, I'm a small guy. So I went with TNA. I wanted to be part of a new project called the LEX. And I spoke to Corey about it. He said, let's do this. And I always remember we feuded with the Raw Dog, the New Age Outlaws, his father. And I had a phenomenal years with TNA. I can't complain with TNA. At the time, it was part of my family. I loved it. I loved the era of that time. I love my LEX era. It was sweet. It was so cool. Especially that I left Ring of Honor, and I went through something big after that. And it took me to a place, Orlando, Florida. And after that, I just took over the world.
How is Jeff Jarrett as a boss?
Very open. I'm not gonna lie to you. There's a bunch of rumors. You know, stupid rumors, too. I always believe that you need to be careful how you talk to people from the South, because I'm from the North. Now, of course, I talk very different. And the people from the South, they are very different. And Jeff Jarrett, he came from a great family. Jeff Jarrett is a very underrated promoter. He's with that clique with Jerry Lawler, the USWA guy. And Jerry is very humble. He's not very aggressive. He's very smart. He tells you the A and B, this is what you got to do, and that's it. And the way he tells me, okay, this is what you're going to do, and that's it. But he told me in a calm, nice way. He's not very aggressive. He's a very smart businessman. Even though he hear rumors and these people on social networks saying, like, well, he went to this and he went to that, and this is what the company closed down. I think Derek's a very smart guy, you know. A lot of people that really don't know the business of professional wrestling. It's very hard. But I think I give it props to Jared for hiring me at TNA, especially myself. I think it was a big test, too, because I feel like, okay, we're going to test this guy to help us out. Let's see how he does. I think I passed. They give me a chance. It was not only him. It was Dutch Mantel, Terry Taylor. You know, I had agents in Boston like Sapio Vega. Corner is one of them. Corner was like my mentor. So, Jared's cool. I like Jared.
And, of course, I can't talk about TNA without bringing up Vince Russo.
I like Vince Russo because I'm a big baseball, Major League Baseball fan. And he is a big baseball fan. He loved the Giants, and, of course, I love the Yankees. And that's what we talked about. At the time, I hear some of the rumors that Russo, this is what they say, that Russo is the cancer of pro wrestling. I don't know what that means, but that sounds bad. That even sound good. So, as a person, Vince Russo is a good guy. I like it. As a booker, I don't.
Now you're paired up with Sean Hernandez.
Well, at the time, we had Apollo, a great wrestler from Puerto Rico. He had some issues, travel issues. Then we had this another independent wrestler, his name is Machete. We call him Ricky Vega from Florida. I think the problem with that they didn't want to see two guys with the same height. So they brought this guy from Texas. His name is Hernandez. At the time, I knew him. From Ring of Honor, he called himself Hasta Hernandez, and I guess he had a different character, I don't know, but when Conan told me about, you get a new partner, it will be Hernandez, and I said to myself, well, we got to click right away, not tomorrow, not next week, I'm talking about like right now, and I always remember like the first time I met him was in 2006. I said, my name is Homicide. He said, I know you. My name is Hernandez. Okay, we're doing LEX, and we're going to take over the world. This is what we're going to do. No prisoners. We can take it over. And he said, I got you. And the guys, we clicked very, very well. When I say click very well, I even told them, just watch some movies and take some, you know, characters and put in your character. And that's what he did. And we still, but if we got a wrestling match, we wrestled these two guys in Missouri this Saturday or next week. We go to Australia together. We just finished with the new LEX. We do very well. We click very well. He's a great guy in person, and he's a great wrestler.
At Slammiversary 2006, you guys defeated AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels to win the NWA Tag Team Championship.
Think about it. You got the Road Warriors, you got the Freebirds, you got the Bucks, you know, all the traditional guys that we part of the list. To this day, like I always tell people, we are the first Latino wrestler, the NWA Tag Titles. So we beat by history. I don't know if it's on the list, but I'll be mentioning that. And I think Abay was a very smart individual. He was surprised. And, man, I feel free. I felt like, wow, you know, like, what a blessing. But it was amazing to capture those belts.
How did it feel for you and Hernandez to be role models for the land community?
I think it was just everybody. I always remember we go to United Kingdom, we have people wearing bandanas in their faces, having Puerto Rican flags, Mexican flags. We had kids that are like about 8, 9 years old coming to us, and they want to be like us. And to me, I was just amazed. But it was not only Latino community, it was also people, African-American, like every race, you know, it was so so great, man. That's how I knew that I finally made it, you know, because you had these people, because I was looking up to people like Hulk Hogan, you know, at the time, Macho Man, Randy Savage. After that, I was Sting, Terry Funk, and I got people saying that I want to be just like you, Homicide, and Hernandez, and that's like, wow, that's something that's better than a contract or a huge payday, getting that respect. So it's an amazing feeling.
Then you got to work with America's Most Wanted. This is a team that doesn't get talked about enough.
Absolutely. They, I don't know why they're never talked about. Those guys are very underrated. We had a great war with those guys. I think that was maybe one of the first wars to have with them. But America's Most Wanted, one of the most underrated tag teams in the business. And with Gil Kemp, we had a bloody feud. We had great matches. We traveled all over the South. People saw our feud. And they're very good guys, too. They're very good.
And then going back to ECW, you and Hernandez got to work against the Dudley Boys.
That was like a test, in my opinion. Because everybody heard rumors about the Dudley Boys the way they are. I mean, it's true. Of course, I got the biggest one, meaning like I was feuding with Bubba Ray Dudley. I think that was the test that we passed. You know, it wasn't like the Dudley Boys in ECW, but I felt there was the Dudley Boys. Maybe a little bit calmer, but I got a chance advice for those guys. And those guys are like my mentors. And I became more tough because of those guys. You know, like, Devon Dudley, he's like my uncle in professional wrestling. You know, I was called Bubba Ray Dudley, the Tony Soprano of professional wrestling. So we got a little inside jokes, and to this day, I'm really cool with those guys.
And then came the time where you guys had to move on without Conan. Was that difficult for you?
Yes, it was. It was very difficult. I was remembering that time that Conan was telling me, I'm out. That's all he said, I'm out. I'm leaving. He went back to Tribune Wrestling to Mexico. He's been out there. And in my personal opinion, I say, okay, maybe it's time, you know, we become bigger than men and take over not only the product, but the name itself, LEX. Because we was not going to kill LEX. You know, I always remember that Coyle was telling me that he wants to do a new product, and it's called LEX. And to me, LEX is like a family. It's like again. And I just don't want to erase the name. I don't want to do anything bad about the name. So me and Andrew kept it. We had new members. We had Sheila Martinez, Hector Guerrero. There are a couple of guys with us. I think we did great. Got to do LEX. Right now, they are the hottest tag team in the wrestling industry. I'm kind of happy that the name itself is still alive and it's still popping. So it's awesome to have the name still alive and on fire. But it was very difficult when Conan said that he's leaving LEX. And I always remember that it was 1 year he was with LEX that I took over. And after that, we just moved forward, and I think we did great by ourselves.
Now, they had you participate in the X Division Gauntlet. Was that them experimenting you as a singles guy?
I'll be honest, I believe, I don't know. It could have been a big test. It could have been something that I was going through depression because my father passed away. So I don't know if that was one of the cases. Let's pick this guy happy, because I know in my gut feeling that I was true for the company. They liked to be for business. Of course, I'm a little high-head because I always speak the truth. But I think it was more like, okay, let's see what he got. Let's see what he does solo singles competition. And I was doing so good at singles competition. I always remember when I joined the World Elite, I was the guy in the back. Then for some reason, I made a joke. I said, I'm going to be the Brian Pillman of Puerto Ricans. And to this day, I still don't know what that means. And I went out there and I did my thing and they loved it. And it took one show, one match that maybe destroyed my wrestling career in TNA. And that's the infamous cage match, the first live show in TNA, when Hulk Hogan took over.
I really enjoyed your matches against the Motor City Machine Guns. What do you have to say about Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin?
Phenomenal workers. I've heard a lot of internet rumors that they became coaches or they got viewed as coaches for the Performance Center. They deserve it. Those guys, they're great. You know, they are the pioneer of the lightweight competition when it comes to the cruiserweights of tag team. Those are the guys. If anybody wants to buy it or study tapes, they should check out the Motor City Machine Guns when it comes to the cruiserweight tag teams, because those guys are very phenomenal talent. Chris Sabin, actually, they're great workers. They're good people.
And then you got to work with James Storm again, but this time you had a new tag team partner named Robert Roode. They're Beer Money.
I love Just Like America, Most Wanted, underrated. I wish. Sometimes the fan comes out of me, and I be like, I wish that James Storm goes to WWE and team up with Bobby Roode. Because Bobby Roode, he's a phenomenal athlete, too. I got nothing bad things to buy him or James Storm. Both of those guys are great tag team. Any tag team that makes a double suplex very popular, they're good. You know, and Beer Money, man, I just wish they had bigger things coming up in the future. I don't know. It's too young. Never know. I heard James Storm's in the NWA right now, and I'm hearing that Bob Rose is still in the WWE. So I'm hoping that those two get together and, you know, kick him one more time.
And then you won the Feast or Fired match. This was basically TNA's version of Money in the Bank. You cashed that on Suicide to win the X Division Championship, and this was your first singles title.
Yes, it was my first singles. I always remember Earl Hebner telling me, congratulations, you're going to win it today. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's telling me that I'm very confident that you're going to win the championship tonight against Superstar. I had no clue what he was talking about. And that's when my boss was telling me, like, yeah, you're going to do this cash stream, and you're going to come out and you're going to beat up a couple of guys, and Superstar is one of them. I'm like, oh, okay. I was shocked. Very shocked. To this day, I still believe that it should have been a little bit different. I mean, of course, I like to entertain the fans, and I got a lot of great feedback with the fans beating Suicide. If I got to change something, especially right now that I'm thinking about it, it would be a regular one-on-one match, you know, but I'm still happy. I can't complain. I'm part of the resume. Throwing out some action that I am one-time X Division champion.
At Hard Justice 2009, you ended up dropping the towel to Samoa Joe. What was it like working with him again?
Yeah, I just wish it could have been better. That's about the man himself. I was happy, though. I just wish it was just different. I wish it was a better feud, the way we ran in Ring of Honor. But at the time, it was all about Taz. We need to introduce Taz. And Taz, I felt that Taz should have been with me. But that's another story. But I think if I need to lose it to be Samoa Joe.
Sean Hernandez came back from his neck injury, and I was excited to see LAX back together. And of course, she ended up turning on him.
Yeah, but the one thing I do, I like that I betrayed them. So I guess people love the tag team instead of being feuding. I don't know if that makes sense, but I wasn't a fan of it, but hey, it is what it is.
How'd you feel about going your separate ways?
It was very hard. I was pissed off. And I always remember Bubba Ray Dudley and Conor were telling me you gotta play the game. I didn't know what that meant. Then I find out what that really means. And after that, I calmed down and they see what happens afterwards. And in my parents' opinion, it was a still big question mark because something I don't even know what happened afterwards, but it wasn't that a big feud of me and Evans. We did headline a pay per view at Slammiversary. So I don't know, it was, I just felt that it should have been better. I felt that it shouldn't even happen that it should. So it just, you know, one of those days that you never know what can happen.
How'd you feel about being in World Elite?
I liked it. Something new. It's funny because that was the first time I met Honaka, who's a big superstar in the New Japan Pro Wrestling, one of the great heavyweight champions right now. He's still young. I love Eric Young. Eric Young is one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time, just like Jerry Lynn. Very underrated. We are a great guy, a great crew all over the world who represent the UK, Latin America, Middle East, Japan, Canada, you know, and that could have been something huge, but I guess somebody from the back just saying, no, screw that, let's break them up, let's see what happens. I just remember that I had a phone call one day and they told me that I was done with TNA, and I didn't care. Because at the time, I was going through emotional stress of depression, and I wanted to go back home. The home was Ring of Honor, and that's it.
They just called you and let you go?
Yeah, I mean, the first time, like I said, Hogan and Vince took over. I got hurt. I wrestled at the time Brian Kendrick, and I had two groin injuries and a cracked rib. I wasn't performing the right way. And I think they didn't want to do major cuts. So they got to release me because I wanted to give them 100%. And that's business. So I was okay with that. I wasn't even bad. I was not going to AOL, instant message, or, oh, screw this company, this suck. I wasn't. I never did shoot tapes. I was happy to give me a chance. But then let me go. And I said, let me go back to Ring of Honor. And I always remember that one of my agents, Patina, called me on August 17th, like about 3 o'clock. He said, I got released. I said, okay. 2 hours later, I called Ring of Honor, and they say, come to 9/11. It was 2010, 9/11 show. That's when Roger Crowe won the world title. And that's when Steph Rollins, they call him Tyler Black, he left to go to the WWE. And that's when I made my return. And, like I say, it wasn't that great because I didn't give my 100%. I wish I could have told somebody. I wish I could have relaxed. But I had that edge that I got to keep going. And I messed up. I really did.
How's Dixie Carter as a boss?
She's cool. I like her. You know, I mean, I think she's got really a professional wrestling person. Who knows the tricks, and, you know, the right to the left, this is what we got to do, this is what we save the company. I really think she felt like, let's make the company bigger. Let's bring the icon, the Babe Ruth of professional wrestling, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, it's a good idea. But like I said, Hogan got his own demands. And Dixie Carter just, yeah, take all your demands and make this company bigger. And sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose. I mean, my personal opinion with Dixie Carter, she's a sweet lady. She's awesome. But when it comes to business and pro wrestling, nah. Not good.
A lot of fans criticized TNA for bringing in Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. What was your experience working with those guys?
At first, it was amazing. Because you grew up watching people like Hulk Hogan. Hear rumors about Eric Bischoff, you know. But as a fan, you say to yourself, wow, Hulk Hogan, I'm working with Hulk Hogan. I'm going to be Hulk Hogan. I'm going to get some of his knowledge. But let's be for real, it was the worst experience ever. It was that good. If I had a time machine, I'd go back way before they told us that Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff is coming. I was saying, please no. And to me, that was the I don't know who's really the number one fault of the company falling. Everybody's saying it was Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan. I don't know, but I do know that when Hulk Hogan came to the company, everything was going down. TNA was a phenomenal promotion, great product. And when he came in, I'm guessing he just wanted to battle Vince McMahon, and that's the wrong thing to do. It felt like a movie, like a TV series, like you want payback because the WWE destroyed WCW and Vince McMahon beat Eric Bischoff and those guys for AOL. And I think it was like a big revenge, and they still lost. And right now, TNA became Impact Wrestling. To me, they got great talent in that company. And I don't know what's going on right now. But if I'm gonna say, yeah, I'm gonna be Show Destroyer. But it's business.
You end up going back to Ring of Honor. How would you compare that to your first run?
I didn't like nobody. And I thought the great coming back home, you know, this is where I made my stardom. But for some reason, I didn't feel right. And every match I had, I didn't get. I always remember I wrestled El Generico. I tweaked my knee, but I didn't tell nobody. You know, some people would say it's an excuse. It's not an excuse.
And then this is when he came back to TNA?
We love hip-hop. We love the Wu-Tang Clan. And we said we need to do a wrestling clique called the Beatdown Clan. And I was so stressed out. I was claiming, Pete, bro, I can't do this. I need surgery. Like, I went to Mexico, and I don't know if you remember, but about a week of other days, I had tape on my shoulder. At that time, when I went to Mexico, something happened that it just gave out. And the doctor telling me, you need surgery, like, right away. And I was wrestling, like, 4 or 5 more bumps with a torn rotator cuff. And I told MVP at the time, the leader, and the mastermind, I can't do this. And I did like a couple of shows and I was gone. And something happened with Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling. I really don't know what happened, but it became ugly with the court system. All I know that when I left, I really left. Like, I had surgery and my phone was off.
When you came back for your last run with TNA, you had your feud with the quote-unquote new LAX, and as a fan of LAX, that really bothered me, because when I think of the name, that's you and Hernandez.
As yourself, you're a wrestling fan, Mr. Francis, so just let's think about the Midnight Express versus the Midnight Express. That's where I see this gimmick from. In my personal opinion, I wanted to elevate Santana and Ortiz's career to LAX. I did it for the company. I did it for myself. I did it for Corden. I did it for the new LAX. Those two guys, they from New York City, where I came from, they had another character. And at the time, long time ago, I passed the torch to these guys, because they the ones going to take over the wrestling industry, and they're doing it now. So to me, it was perfect that the OG's LAX came and beat the crap of the new LAX. And in a personal view, you could say as a fan or mark, whatever you want to say, I felt that it was the best that what I did. Of course, the company was paying me, and we had great producers like Sanjay Dutt, who's one, I gotta give him a shout out because he's the one who produced this. But I felt that I wanted to elevate those guys' careers, and they did. The only thing that was very upset that they did not have nothing for me and Hernandez afterwards. We wrestled Pentagon and Phoenix, the hottest tag team in the planet right now, and we killed it. It was a great match. After that, it was one of those, thank you, come again. I was like, what? I don't understand this. It was basically saying, thank you for doing your jobs. We will call you later. And I was okay. I just kept it very professional. Of course, my crew, Kingston and Hernandez, they didn't like it. They still mad about it. I'm going to keep it real. And my personal view about it, I was very upset. I'm a little upset right now, but I'm happy that the new LAX career are on the top of the world right now. They are the last TNA Tag Team Champions. They're like about, what, 3-4 times Impact Wrestling Champions. They came from my camp. So I'm kind of happy what happened. Now, it was two other guys from out of nowhere. Like, say, like, two Spanish guys from Iowa or from Portland. Two guys I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to be very upset. But these kids, I know these kids very well. And I'm happy that their careers elevate. And that was the first time in my 25th career that I never thought of that I was going to be, like, outside the box. Because I've always been a team player. I've always been like, I'm going to do this for the first time that I did. I was like, nah, I'm going to do this for them, not for y'all. And I'm happy. That was my payback right there. I'm happy with what's going on right now. Now, I love those guys. I'm talking about the guys by the scenes, like Scott DeMore, Sanjay Dutt, all the staff members. But like I said, man, like I wish that Impact Wrestling should have had at least something for us in the end. They had nothing. And we just left like nothing. I mean, come on, Eddie Kingston, one of the most underrated talkers. If you look at his tapes, just hear his promos. He's a phenomenal talker, just like Jim Park. We should have had something, but hey, that's the way business is. That's the way professional wrestling. We just got to move forward. That's what we're looking for right now.
It's great to know that after more than a decade of being LAX, that you're okay with passing on the name.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I got LAX tattooed in my body. That's for life. And like I say, like, I don't know how Hernandez feel about this, but for myself, I'm happy that I passed the torch for Team Santana. I'm really happy. Because LAX corner is the brains, not the heart. So I'm happy what they have right now. And I'm a believer that their careers just started. They're going to do something big. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know if they stay with Impact Wrestling. I don't know if they're going to be at WWE, New Japan. But something's going to happen in the fall. And I hope it's going to be really big. And I'm going to be happy. It's like, you know, having a kid. You know, take them to the first year of school. They just go ahead. That's the way I feel with those kids. Same thing with Low Key. Same thing with all my students.
Now, Bound for Glory 2018, I was actually sitting front row when you and Hernandez fought the new LAX in the Concrete Jungle match, and I don't know how you guys were able to be in a literal unsafe work environment.
That was really crazy. That was something that I cannot remember who's the person who says, okay, this is the idea we're going to have. All I know, if you look at the tape, go back, watch the tape, when I come out, and get in the ring. Look at the way I'm laughing. The reason why I'm laughing is one of those, like, I can't believe we signed for this. Somebody's gonna get hurt. And I'm laughing because that's the way I am. I laugh stuff like that, you know, because I'm not gonna get mad. So what happened? Everybody got hurt. You know, I got like a sprained ankle. You know, like, I dislocated my fingers. Hernandez hurt his back. A few cuts, slashes. Same thing with Santana, he had a bruised hip. Same thing with Eddie Kingston. Everybody got hurt. It was wow. It was one of those moments like, yeah, we're not doing this again.
You got any good rib stories?
Let's see. I got a bunch. I want to see what's PG-13.
Now, you don't have to name names if you don't want to.
Okay, I mean, well, I can tell you one is a YouTube. I can tell my side is my first time going to California, and it was for PWG, and things that I was hanging out with people like B-Boy, the Havana Pimples, Japanese wrestler, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Of course, CM Punk was straight edge, and also he's the one who's driving B-Boy's car, but B-Boy was a little drunk, and it was a stick shift. So, of course, CM Punk, who doesn't know how to drive stick shift, was driving his car. So, big story short, we got all drunk. We go to Samoa Joe's house. Rocky Romero and CM Punk was, like, doing some shoot fighting wrestling because Rocky Romero wanted to leave, but he was drunk. And, you know, of course, CM Punk was looking out for everybody. I think he punched him in the face and knocked him out. And I think that we went to sleep, and I'm very bad drinking tequila. And I looked at CM Punk, and I was saying to myself, like, one day this guy's going to be rich. And I hate your guts. And I don't know why I'm like that, but when I'm drinking, I like to do pranks. I'm like Owen Hart. So when I told him that, I got up, and basically I just dropped my pants down, and I went to peel him. And he woke up. He's like, they call me D. I'm like, yo, D, what you doing? I said, shut up. I'm about to piss on you right now because you're going to be rich in the future. And he took me like a little baby, and I pissed all over Samoa Joe's bathroom. When I said all over, it was wet all over the wall, the floor, and Samoa Joe, he was much, but he did throw up, but he went to the bathroom, and it felt like Godzilla or King Kong was fighting in the bathroom. And he came out of the bathroom, he was all wet, and he said something about that somebody left the showers on. No, you got urine in your body. So that was just, that's just one. There's a lot, you know. A lot of them is really graphic. So I'm more of a guy that, it's like the gremlins. You cannot give water to a gremlin after 12 o'clock midnight because he's going to turn to like a demon. That's the way I am with tequila. I hate tequila.
Oh, man.
And actually, you can see that on YouTube. It's a story. They talked about it. So, yeah, just check it out. See a punk, Samoa Joe, and there's two bastards telling the story.
I remember when I was talking to Hernandez when he was on the show, he was telling me about a time that you and him were trying to get to a TNA show, and I guess you made a wrong turn or something, and you were getting hassled by the Canadian border agents.
Yeah, like GPS, that's the first time GPS on the phone came out, and we had a show at Detroit, but we was going to, I think they took us to Canada, and I always remember that I was telling Hernandez, yo, what is that? And he said, that's the border. We got to back up. So I went to back up, but I guess a couple of Canadians took out AK-47 to go to shoot the car. So we went for it. I told Hernandez, like, listen, man, I got this. I'm going to talk very well with these guys. Don't worry about it. And he was already scared. So I go to the agency in the border, and the guy was telling me, like, oh, passport, please. And I told the officer, listen, we did a wrong turn. We just want to back up. And the officer was being the bully. He said, I don't care what you say. I want your passport right now. And I say, listen, again, I did a wrong turn because the GPS gave it the wrong direction. Let us do a U-turn and we'll be okay. And of course, the officer was being the bully. They cursed me, and that's when I cursed back. Like, motherfucker, I don't want to be in your country. Let me go. And that's when the cops came and they took us to this little room and they searched the car, they searched us. Yeah, it was really bad.
What keeps you busy nowadays?
Well, right now, I'm a parent. I just take care of my family. Of course, a lot of promoters that call me. Like I said, I'm still happy that I'm still going strong. I'm with Game Changer Wrestling. I got a school. It's called The Compound. Right now, we're looking at researching for a new place. I'm working with PCW Ultra. I'm going to have a bunch of meetings with corporate, you know, big-time players in the near future. Hopefully, I become a coach the professional wrestler, maybe the performance centers, or maybe me and Dennis or Keith could team up and take over Michigan Wrestling or All Elite Wrestling, something to be very active. But as right now, I'm still going strong. Of course, like I said, I'm a parent, so right now my kids are the first thing. So right now, I'm okay. Can't complain.
How much longer do you see yourself wrestling?
1 year. But I'm like Terry Funk. I like to say 1 year because 5 years. But my body is telling me take 1 year, and I already accept that I need to let it go and become something behind the scenes, like a coach or a producer. And I'm okay with that, because that's my future.
Where can fans follow you on social media?
Well, I'm the only person who got on Twitter, so a lot of people telling me that there's a lot of homicides on Twitter. That's a fake homicide. I got on Twitter, but I got the Instagram. It's called Side Outlaw 5150, CIDE Outlaw 5150. On my Facebook, I go by D Erazo, that's DEERAZO. But I'm more of an Instagram guy. One day I'm going to have a Twitter, but I'm just having fun right now with Instagram.
If you had to pick, what would you say is your favorite singles match and tag team match in TNA?
I have so many. My favorite one-to-one? Jesus Christ, there's a lot. There's so many. I can tell you the top of my head, I don't know why, but being Samoa Joe in United Kingdom, tag team, LAX against the Mortal Machine Guns in Texas.
How do you want to be remembered?
I remember, like, of course, I'm not going to be like people, you know, even John Cena, Roman Reigns, but I want to be remembered like that guy who came from a struggle, who came from the concrete jungle, who was knocked down and got up and still made it. And I want to be inspired by everybody who couldn't make it and just sucking it up and toughing it up and just let's go with it. Let's enjoy this ride. You know, I was like, just like Terry Funk. When you hear Terry Funk, people remember that guy. I'm not going to be the next Hulk Hogan, John Cena. But at least, you know, Homicide, the professional wrestler, the guy who came out of nowhere and made it big, but he never gave up. He never quit. I like that.
I think we covered everything today.
Thank you so much. It was pretty long, but I enjoyed it. You got a great page. I like your page because I enjoy history. I'm one of those guys that loves pro wrestling, loves history. So I got to support you and your page, man, because you got a great page.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Kids these days, they don't know much about the earlier generations, so I try to keep those legacies going.
Keep it up, man, because I enjoyed it. There's a couple of times that I'm like, wow, really? This happened? You know? Like, I would say people like Baddies Brown, everybody thinks of him like just a guy from Harlem, New York, but nobody doesn't know he's a judo fighter. He's really one of those badass morphos and professional wrestler who never get recognized. Same thing about, of course, Bruiser Brody, a living legend. You know, he's one of my favorites. Of course, Terry Funk. You know, but Adrian Adonis, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, those guys, unbelievable. Gino Hernandez, I think the next Rick, he should be the next Ric Flair, but, you know, partying and doing stuff he should do. You know, he passed away young, rest in peace. But you got a great page, and a lot of people need to learn and see your page.
All right, well, I appreciate you doing this interview with me. It was a lot of fun covering your career.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. My dad is waiting in Philadelphia, but I enjoyed it.
All right, well, you take care, and we'll see you later.
Take care.
El tiempo es ahora, the time is now for the soul to gain control and know that the American right is also the Latino right. The world will fall and you all will talk your smack when we attack. To all Latin nations, estamos de la misma sangre. Somos carnales.
Carnales.
Segregación, el tiempo ahora está para que los latinos hagan cuál correcto para la mente, cuál correcto para el corazón y cuál correcto para la raza.
LEX.